Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, absolutely brutal. And I mean capital B brutal sports weekend. Now, the Eagles are still in damn good shape. Phillies is getting scary, obviously, as their season could be over the middle of this week. Phil's back at it tonight. We don't know if they're going to have Harrison Bader or not. Now, before we get to audio of Rob Thompson talking about that, I want to tell you, coming up a little under 3 hours, we're going to have Time's Yours. And you can get the calls into the Times Yours line to react to both teams losing this weekend. Times Yours, 215-238-4500. Get it off your chest. If you can't wait on the phone lines, just dial Times Yours real quick and let us know what you think. 215-238-4500. I know this. Bader's important for tonight. I mean, consider this reality. You're going up against a tough lefty. All right? You're already going to be playing Castellanos. You don't want to play Kepler.
It'll be Marsh probably in center.
Yeah, you're going to start Marsh. For sure you're going to start Marsh, but like who else?
Well, I think it'd probably be Wes Wilson or Kemp and Castellanos, you know?
I agree.
Which is, you know,
not great.
In a must-win essentially game.
Not great. All right, with that said, let's listen to Rob Thompson, then the NovaCare Rehabilitation Injury Report. Here's Topper the other day. This was yesterday. That's important to know. This is not Saturday after the game. This is yesterday. Here's Rob Thompson yesterday, an update on Harrison Bader.
No major tear or strain. He's going to come in this afternoon and get some treatment, and we'll know more tomorrow.
He sounded really confident, I guess, last night that he would be able to come back.
Yeah, I think, and again, we'll know more tomorrow, but I think after the game they stretched him out. They got him moving around a little bit, and I think he felt a lot better after that, so... we'll know whether he's available to start or at least to pinch hit. We'll know more tomorrow.
All right, that's Rob Thompson on Bader. Well, tomorrow's today, and obviously we're all hoping Bader can be in that lineup. For more on this and the Landon Dickerson situation, let's talk to Dr. Ryan Schreider. He's an orthopedic surgeon at Temple Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine at Temple's hospital, Main and Temple Jeans Hospital. Specializes in all sorts of stuff, including injuries and overuse, sports-related concussions, management, and more. Dr. Schreider's with us right now. Doc, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. So when you hear Rob Thompson say what he said right there, obviously it's a groin situation, but not a major one. What would be your expectation of whether Bader would play tonight?
Yeah, I think Topper took the segment. You know, he nailed it, but very ambiguously, though. In my opinion, though, that was a really positive sign if there were no significant tears. I think the big thing is just, you know, Bader's one of the fast twitch guys. So getting those balls in the gap, that's going to be the tough one. I don't think hitting is going to be an issue. Maybe stretching that double to a triple, that may be a tough one, but, it looked like a good sign for him and for that injury, but those can be pretty significant. So it's good that that seemed to be the outcome, or at least that's what he's saying. I'm not there, but we're not there. But I mean, he's given us a lot of faith.
Sounds to me, Doc, like him being confident is a big deal. Like Bader being confident means a lot, you know, but he's the athlete. He knows how it feels.
Right.
Now later after they've examined it, he knows that there's no major, tear there or strain. Is this something you, in the sport that I played, this is something that they got aggressive with where they would inject this sort of thing to allow guys to play. Is baseball a sport that because it's game and you get a game off and then you get a game the next day, you can't do that sort of aggressive medicine?
No, I think you can do it. I mean, the whole point of injections is trying to control or accelerate the inflammation process. The whole point is to try to decrease that inflammation, to increase the healing, to get them back. I mean, football and baseball are definitely different sports in kind of the amount of time you're playing, the type of kind of impact and collision that you're choosing. But I mean, I go back to that center field. It's, you know, he's known for that crab walk thing, you know, right? And so he may not be doing that as much, but
that's
interesting. Like, I think it's style points. But,
no, it really is interesting to think about that. He is using the groin in a very, you know, distinct way when he's doing the crab walk.
Yeah.
That's all groin.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
And those are go ahead, Doc.
No, yeah, I mean those are your core muscles, and you're firing those constantly. Now in football, yes, like coming out like a 3-point stance and going up, like you're firing it, like going from a catch up the field, you're firing that core. Those are those are your starter muscles. Mm-hmm. And for a center fielder, I mean those are big. Those are big.
Yeah, and it could be the difference to your point, that tremendous catch he had the other day. Maybe that's one he would not get to tonight if he plays. All right, let's talk about Landon Dickerson. Man, he's been playing through a lot. He gets yet another injury. Ankle gets rolled up on. Does this look to you like a high ankle sprain? He was really limping considerably leaving the field. Does it look high ankle sprain to you? And if so, is that a 2 to 4 week injury?
Yeah, those are tough to say because, you know, when I've examined these high ankle sprains or ankle sprains, you're right. The high ankle sprain, it looks really bad, and then you examine it, and you're like, hey, it's not that. It looks pretty good. You're sure it still hurts. And then the classic ankle sprain, the kind of lateral or outside part of your ankle swells up sometimes right away. Those are the ones that get bruised and people are sending pictures and being like, this looks gross. And I'm like, well, you know, it looks pretty good. Like, I think it's a lateral ankle sprain. The high ankle sprains are more subtle. They have more.
Yeah, there's
pain,
not as much swelling, right?
Exactly.
There's not as much bleeding. There's not as much swelling. So there's not the discoloration. But the reason for that is because that syndesmotic membrane that tore, it doesn't have the same blood flow that your other stuff has. So it can't heal as fast as everything else can.
Exactly. You nailed it. And that's what makes the injury last a little longer. Now, I don't know Landon, you know, and seeing his exam, but I mean, he's a pretty tough kid. I think he can push through it. It's going to be a matter of how long do you immobilize it and get him back on the field? How long do you wait to push it? And it's just controlling that inflammation process without trying to injure that recovery process. That's the balance that I think a lot of the medical staff on the Eagles are going to be playing with. And they've proven to be really good with it.
Yep, for sure. For more information, by the way, with Dr. Schreider here, and to get under his tremendous care, get yourself to templehealth.org. Once again, that is templehealth.org. Well, these are two very important players, Landon Dickerson and Harrison Bader. We'll see what the future holds. Doc, we appreciate you joining us today. Obviously, go Phils, go Eagles, go Birds. Enjoy the game tonight, my man. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
All right, you got it, man. All right, good morning to you on a really important day because we got game two in a few hours. Jetta Cameron and John Ritchie. I'm sure the station will start moving to game two more as the day goes on. I mean, we'll do a little bit on it for sure, but we're still, with our show, largely in, you know, recap mode and analysis of what went down and really just the emotional edge of the disappointment of both Saturday and Sunday. So I put more blame on Sirianni than Rob Thomson. I know a ton of people are coming down on Topper, and I understand why you do. I'll just say this. I would have told you before Saturday's game that I'd have David Robertson and Strom as probably two of my most seven or eight trusted Phillies. And so he was trusting them. He was trusting him.
I would have told you, don't ever bring a reliever in to get a huge out and then make him sit on the bench for 15 minutes and bring him back. It happens every time. I feel like it never works.
I think it works more than you're thinking. We don't see it a ton anymore. But I'll say this. I get your point, but I also know this. And we talked, boy, John, you know, we talked a lot about this on Friday. We didn't want to see Kerkering. We really didn't want to see Taiwan. Like,
don't trust him.
There was a lot of don't trust that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, and that guy. And my bullpen trust was really just Duran, Strom, Robertson, and if you want to count Banks, and that's up to everyone individually to make that choice. That was it. So now, look, if Ranger was healthy and available, then I would have liked him to be utilized. We don't know if he was healthy and available. We don't know if that's why he's not starting game two. John, in a perfect world, if Ranger was healthy, would you want him starting tonight?
Yes, I would prefer that.
Yeah, I mean, the theory that Lorenzo...
Trust, once again.
Say it again?
Trust.
Trust. Yeah, trust. Why. Yeah, trust. I'm with you. But maybe he wasn't healthy. I mean, we don't know. He got hit with that line drive right at the end of the year, and so that could be playing a part of all this. It was... ironic's not the word. I'll just say it was...
It's just so hard. I always distrust his back also. It feels like his back has been... touch and go this year and previously.
But he
and
finished strong.
I agree.
He really did.
I agree, but we know that back is tricky, and we know that he has had the back, and I don't know. The back is just a nasty thing to deal with.
So look, all of this on the table. To me, the Sirianni thing was a tremendous... I just thought Sirianni flat blew it. And let me be very clear. He is far from the only guy that deserves blame within the Eagles' orbit this morning, okay? There was a ton that went wrong. Obviously, the motion penalty being a legit penalty as an example. Devontae's moving. Saquon's moving. They got to get that snap off with 1 second. Hurts has no choice but to say, let's go. Let's snap the ball.
Which, like, the snap thing, again, coming into focus.
Late in the clock?
Every single time. Yeah. Even if just from a tricking the defense perspective, that's silly, but it seems like they can't get it together quick enough.
My lot has been complaining about it for weeks.
Yeah, it does seem like with the new coordinator, they've taken a clear step back in that regard. But let me be clear on why, to me, Sirianni blew it. He blew it because he didn't run the ball enough. And I believe it was an outgrowth of A.J. Brown's tweet. I really believe that. I can't prove it. We'll never know what would have happened if A.J. hadn't tweeted it. I will just put it this way. My gut feeling... is it if A.J. Brown had not sent out the tweet he sent out a week ago that the Eagles would have won the game? I can't prove it to you. We'll never know. But I know this. A team that runs the ball a freaking ton suddenly didn't.
With a lead.
You had a 17-3 lead for about...
two touchdown lead.
Yeah.
And
yeah, right. Big lead.
Two touchdown lead.
For the whole third quarter.
Touchdown.
I mean, you score right away in the third quarter and part of the fourth quarter.
Got one carry in the second half.
Yeah. Six total for the game, and Jalen had 38 passes. I mean, that to me feels like Sirianni blew it. And he blew it for the wrong reason. That's the wrong reason to do it. Unless, I'm going to give you my one unless, but I'm really not, I don't really believe it. Unless the coach feels that the player is about to go off the freaking deep end and be like, I'm out of here if there's like one more game like this. And I find that unlikely. So to me, weak job by Sirianni, who otherwise is a great coach. And I mean that, great coach, great coach. Yeah. But I thought he flat out blew that one yesterday, acquiescing to AJ, and I think it really hurt them.
It did, and the positive way to view this moving forward is it is fixable. Run the ball more. Focus on what got you here. Remember, you came into this game running the ball more than anyone else in the NFL. Go back.
Yep, I'm with you.
Running the ball more than anyone else in the NFL.
All right, we're going to continue this segment and beyond today. Play a lot of audio from both coaches over the weekend. Notable things Sirianni and Rob Thompson said. We'll get to that shortly. I got the pool report of what the ref said after the game, and also the Bad of the Bone Award shortly. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. Chuck, good morning.
Hey, morning, team. What's going on? Listen,
hi, Chuck.
You know, let me start with this team that wear pinstripes. I'm talking to the Yellowtail Cowards up and down that lineup. As soon as they face adversity, they don't know how to overcome it. You know what I mean? And I told you a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago when you guys ripped me to shreds for what I said about Kyle Schwarber. Well, I tell you what, Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner can kiss my you-know-what. Well, those two guys, I wouldn't give them a damn dollar. You know what I'm saying? Because every big game, I've never seen him come through in a big game. And everybody
they have at times. Listen, Chuck, I think you're hold on, Chuck. Hold on a second. I think you're discounting how great Ohtani was. I mean, I know the bats were lame, but there was a main reason why they were lame. The other guy was unfrickin' believable. Not every time you lose do you choke. I thought Ohtani's pitching was frickin' amazing, and I don't think you're properly taking that into account.
Man, you know what? You make excuses. I'm tired of the excuses for the Phillies, okay? They're the same old story when it comes to big moments. I don't give a damn who was pitching, if it was Randy Johnson pitching, okay? Every time it's a big moment. And I tell you what, the asses better get back on board today or they're going to get swept, okay? Yeah. That's to the Eagles. Jalen Carter, you got a great for a brain, okay? I'm tired of your stupid-ass mistakes. I'm tired of you boneheaded plays that you do. Okay, you've been off track all year long. And now the Eagles want to change their stripes. They want to change who they are, their identity, because you got a wide receiver complaining about not getting touches. Jalen Hurts is not the type of guy to throw 35 times a game. That's not how winning is done in Philadelphia, okay? We got a great back. Why change who you are to please one player? If you don't like what you're doing here, AJ, it is something called requesting a trade. If you don't like winning, okay? I am sick and tired of this garbage that we got to watch every year. And the Eagles, I'm talking about the Eagles too. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they 4-1 because that's a false 4-1. They should have lost at least three games.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Year, but by the skin of their teeth and the defense and the special teams, they did not. Yesterday, it came back and it bit them in the ass. And I tell you one thing, right? The schedule gets tougher. It don't get easier. And I tell you, with this type of mentality that they got, and I'm talking about Sirianni too, y'all, you don't get it together, and Petulu, because I ain't sold on his ass either.
You calling for Sirianni's job,
they
Chuck? I just want to see how far you're willing
they
to take it. You calling for Sirianni's job?
No, I'm not calling for Sirianni's job. I'm not that stupid. What I'm saying is I'm calling for Petulo's job. I'm calling for Petulo's job because he got that handed to him. Me know Petulo from a can of paint. He's a friend of Sirianni's. And every time Sirianni thinks he's so good of a coach, he want to start calling plays or anointing people to be OCs, we fell. I'm sick of it.
I know you are. All right, Chuck. I got you, man. I got you. There's a lot there.
Chuck's angry.
Yeah, I agree with some, disagree with others.
Yeah, the garbage every year comment, it's like, man, yeah, you can't say that. Like, yeah. They just won the Super Bowl.
And also, the schedule will get easier. It actually is just about to get easier.
The Giants, two of the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you got Carson in there if he's playing for Minnesota. So yeah,
Carson hurt Carson.
Yeah, so well, that's true, too. And by the way, that was 100% Carson's fault.
J.J. McCarthy might be back.
He might be. But let me just say, I don't want to spend more than 10 seconds on Carson, but I'll just say this. That was 1,000% his fault. It was totally typical Carson. He takes the big hit. It's his fault. It's his fault.
It's like the Grant Calcaterra move. Same.
He got drilled, too.
He did.
He got drilled.
He's hurt from it.
All right. 215-592-9494. Reminder, we'll talk to Ray Dittinger in about a half an hour at 7:55. Also a reminder, we had a poll on Friday regarding the Phillies. Which group do you trust more, the bats or the bullpen? The bats got 57% of the vote. The bullpen got 43% of the vote. Obviously, we're both assessing then who you trust more, who you trust least. But the reality, and I think it held the form, we talked a lot about this on Friday. You can really break a baseball team into three parts. You could talk about defense, you could talk about base running, but the three main parts are starting pitching, relief pitching, and bullpen. It's like the three main parts. And we talked and said, we trust the starting pitching, and Sanchez did come through.
No.
He came through, James.
Dude, he got 5 2/3 innings. He was solid. He was lower on the list, but Christopher Sanchez did not. Like, if Zach Wheeler pitches that game, you probably win.
You probably
like,
do, but
I'm sorry. Like, no. I'm 5 2/3, two runs. That's not good enough from Sanchez. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
It is not good enough.
That he was, flat out disagree. Pulled when he was
no,
pulled?
He was done.
No, he was done. I'm not letting him off the hook.
I'm not putting him on the hook. Listen.
Just a little.
He's
facing a great lineup. He gives up 2 runs in 5 2/3. I'll take it.
But what you want from your ace, your guy in that spot, you need more.
Okay. All right. Well, look, 215-592-9494. Bottom line, though, point being, the two units that we knew would be
the problems were the biggest problems.
Were the problems,
no doubt, and Tom.
It was the bats and the bullpen, and Rob Thompson, obviously, for a lot of people, they think he managed bad. I'm not as on that train as much as James, but a lot of people are killing Topper. All right, let's get to the Bad of the Bone Award. We'll make this an Eagles edition when they lose, and we haven't done this since, I don't know, the middle of last year.
It's been a long time.
Whenever the hell it was. No, the early part of last year.
Yeah, the Washington game, whenever that was.
Yeah. That one. Yeah, it was like December or something. Anyway, Bat of the Bone Award, when they lose, it's blame balls. Let's crank it up. I just want to say for the record, I really do enjoy the game ball version more than the blame balls. But, John, it's a blame ball day. Bat of the Bone. Who was bad? John, who do you give the award to? The dishonor to.
I really hate to point the finger at Kevin Pitullo, but it just feels it feels too easy and too obvious, and I know that there's a lot more that goes into it than just Kevin Pitullo calling these plays. But, you know, because there were a lot of people who succumbed to they were seduced by the pass. They were also seduced by A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Which just can't happen.
No, and that's on Sirianni.
The identity of the team is what matters, and you stick with what got you here. You stick with what won you a world championship, and you got away from it. The beauty, the positive is that you can return to from whence you came. It is a quick turnaround this week. It's time to just, hey, get back to what you do well.
Very correctable. Seltzer Bad Award who?
I hate to not hit on the players at all in the first two, because I do think the players deserve blame for yesterday as well. But for me, it's Nick Sirianni, like, clearly with a bullet at the top of the list
totally
for this
agree.
Loss.
I'm
like,
totally with you.
The not running the ball thing is huge, philosophically caving to AJ. Just the fact the AJ and Jalen relationship is hurting the team. Like, you're the head coach. You got to figure these things out. And then on a more tangible, basic level, I mean, the undisciplined football, I mean, the penalties they had killed them yesterday, unable to get lined up for plays in time. And I know I said it before, but fact that Jalen Carter has had a penalty, a taunting penalty, each home game they played, and you've asked Nick two times now after each of those games, hey, what are we going to do about you? We're going to keep it in-house, isn't that? What? Nothing's working. Fix it.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing I'll disagree with, James, is – the degree to which you're fired up. Like, listen, it stunk yesterday, but they are 4-1.
It's the moment. I'm with you. My overall thing, and I said it on my pod yesterday, is they're 4-1, and a lot of these things are correctable. If you want to talk about something I'm concerned about, it's the injuries, the offensive line struggles in play. But I am still, yesterday, frustrated with it.
I get it. I'm just pointing out they are still tied with the best record in football.
But
Bills lost
last
night.
Yeah, the Bills are. Yeah. But those issues...
They are problems, Ray. Look,
not suspending him for at least, you know, has it proved to him that he can do whatever he wants.
I understand the point.
We said it from the first game.
I hear you. Award. Who do you got, Ray?
They took both of mine. I had Petula was my number one, John, so you and I are on the same page. I'm going to go A.J. Brown.
I was going to do that, too.
That would have been my other one. If he had taken Sirianni, I was going to take A.J. Brown.
I'm with you.
On that play, you know, he stopped running. And then to afterwards, they're not talking. They've got to throw those two in a room. So maybe, like, you know, maybe Jalen's part of it. But, you know, you've proved to be the problem for this week. They completely changed the offense to cater to you. And look, and congratulations, AJ, you got a loss.
Yeah. Do you agree with my assertion, Rhea, that if he hadn't tweeted out what he tweeted, the Eagles likely would have won the game?
1,000%.
Yeah.
And also specifically to the quitting on the route, like, after you do all this complaining and stuff, to stop in that spot, like, you look that much worse, man. Like, it's that much worse.
It's bad luck.
It's a horrible bad luck.
Look, you guys took, I thought, a lot of the biggies. I'll just go with this guy. His name's come up a few times today, including the last couple minutes. I'll go with Jalen Carter. He's not firing on all cylinders. He doesn't seem to be firing near on all cylinders. I used to say this about Fletcher Cox, and I now say it about Jalen Carter. Fletcher Cox's job wasn't to play defensive tackle. Fletcher Cox's job was to dominate. That's why he was being paid $100 million. Like, his business card, like, what's your job? To dominate. That was his responsibility. Jalen Carter's not being paid $100 million yet, but he will at some point, probably by the Eagles, maybe by someone else. His job is to dominate. He's not. He's just not. And so Jalen Carter is my guy right there. But look, there obviously are some other players you can mention that are worthwhile for some blame, because they are very undisciplined. They are shockingly undisciplined. But again, the biggest thing that stood out to me yesterday was the disappointment that Sirianni caved to A.J. Brown. And I think it's a massive mistake, and I think it cost him a game. 215-592-9494. Let's get to CJ right now. CJ, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, CJ.
Hey, buddy.
So I hear you saying, like, hey, he caved, right? Mm-hmm. He caved into A.J. And I hear everybody saying, well, if A.J. had to send his ticks. Let me ask this question before the ticks were sent. Were we running the ball well?
No. Well, yesterday they didn't run it bad, but this season, no. They've been a lame running team this year. That's for sure.
Okay. Has the offense been balanced? Has it looked like something that meshed together between the pass and the running game?
It's pretty balanced. It's Eagles balanced. I mean, prior to yesterday, they did what they typically...
No.
Well, why no? They've run it 54%. They passed it 46%. I mean, that strikes me as pretty balanced, particularly when you're supposed to have a good running game. And have had leads, so why is that not good?
You say it is balanced because they've been running the ball, but we've said that we haven't run the ball well.
They have not run it well. That's true.
So say they, I mean,
but CJ, they had a 17-3 lead, my man. I mean, 17-3. If for no other reason, start churning the clock. That's one element to this. But there's also it's not like they weren't running decent with Saquon. I'm not saying it was last year. It wasn't. But it was okay. And it wasn't something to abandon yesterday. I know they lost Dickerson. I know his main strength is run blocking. We all know that. But my God.
Averaging 4.1 a carry on the 11 carries that we put up.
All the players combined. Yeah.
That includes, you know, Will Shipley, who gave... you know, one attempt for 0 yards.
Which both so our backup running backs are averaging more.
I miss Kenny Gainwell.
I did too, Ray. I did too.
He's
I agree
good.
With that.
Yeah,
I agree with both of you. I do. Yeah.
So here's the thing. We can say because this text was sent, but the biggest thing we keep seeing is there's issues with play calling. It's on time. It doesn't mesh well. It's this oversaturation of running the ball, and we're not running the ball effectively. to the point to where now we over
the feel.
Yeah, there's a lack of balance. And it's always been that way.
Rhythm. The rhythm. This is what it does feel like every single year we talk about the same thing. It's the 5 year. It's the five different play callers over the last 5 years, whatever that number is now. It takes a while before they perfect this process. And the speed of getting that play in when the play is explode the far double ring right, F left, 322, Y stick, nod, Z under, check two, and then you got a whole other play. Like, this is getting way too verbose, way too...
Well, we don't know that the Eagles use that
right,
lingo.
All right, fine. Yeah. Whatever is taking so long, whether it's the way they're...
Whether it's getting the plays in,
the plays,
making the decision, whatever.
Making a decision on it. Look, so, I remember I thought one of the greatest improvements that our last coaching staff made, with Peterson, he called the plays by number. And remember, Carson could just look at his wrist.
Yeah.
And I really thought it cut back on a lot of the time. Yep. So whatever they have to do. So I don't know that it's the verbosity of the offense that's the problem. It could be the processing time of the play caller himself.
Yep.
We talk about Jalen's processing time all the time. He needs to get those plays in faster because the operation time of the offense is affecting its ability to get in the right plays at times.
I'm with you. All right, let's get to the refs. Look, they obviously messed up a number of different ways, particularly late in the game. Most notably, with the Goddard thing not being called a penalty, the ball should have been on the 3-yard line. I mean, it just should have been on the 3-yard line. So let's get to pool reporter. If you don't know that concept, they'll have a referee sometimes speak to a pool reporter, which means one designated, in this case, Philadelphia reporter, Zach Berman, was the pool reporter yesterday that goes in and talks to the ref after the game. You get to ask a couple questions, you get the answers, you put it out to the world. So here's what Zach Berman, as the pool reporter, put out to the world yesterday for what the referee said. Here were the questions, here were the answers. We don't have audio of this, we have a transcription. Here's what was said. The question from Zach Berman, the grounding on Bo Nix, why was that flag picked up on the field? The ref, Adrian Hill, his answer. So what happened there? We have an 0-2-0. That's our official to official communication system. My 0-2-0 was not working. Grounding is a teamwork foul. I had intentional grounding. The line judge had that there was a receiver in the area, number 28, but I didn't hear the information over 0-2-0, so I threw the flag. The line judge came in and let me know that 28 indeed was in the area, and that's why we picked up the flag. John, what'd you make of that one in the moment?
I thought it was very clearly, and I don't think I'm being biased here, intentional grounding. He was spinning around. There's no way in hell he can see where he's throwing the ball. He's spinning around. Like he's releasing the ball just to get it out of his hands. He doesn't realize where anyone is at that moment in time. It seemed very clear. This was just a ejection seat move. Get that ball out to avoid the sack.
Yeah, I also thought it was totally confusing. I mean, I wasn't there. Rhea, for people that were there, had to be confusing that they didn't announce to the fans after they had changed the call. They just moved the ball. Wasn't that bizarre?
It was very bizarre. And he had done it several times. He had actually been called for it once earlier in the game. And he did it a couple times and was getting away with it.
Yeah.
But I know they called him for it. But yeah, here's the way I look at. I don't want to blame yesterday's officials for it because I just thought what the Eagles did in the second half offensively crushed their defense, who were completely gassed in the fourth quarter. But the officiating in the fourth quarter was real weak.
It was weak. All right, so here's the next one because we got four of these to go through. So Zach Berman's question on the ref. The illegal shift penalty. I believe it was on number 26 on the Eagles. What prompted that penalty? By the way, I'm guessing that Zach Berman said Saquon, and someone, someone official NFL person probably makes this number 26.
Or they might tell them you have to say by the numbers because that's how the refs do it. You know what I mean?
It could be. All right, so the question, legal shift penalty, I believe it was on 26 on the Eagles. What prompted that penalty? His answer, two players went in motion. So by rule, when two players go in motion, both have to reset for a second before the snap. One player stopped, but 26 continued in motion, so that's what created the illegal shift. They didn't both reset for a full second. That's completely accurate.
I mean, that was a penalty.
It was just
undisciplined,
stupid
football.
And you know what was caused by
that? Didn't have enough time on
time.
The play clock.
Yeah. It's the time. It's a time problem.
All right, next. But Devontae also had that stumble. I mean, he's not supposed to do that. So that was weird. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, that's the right play, right? When he stumbled moving forward? I think. Anyway.
No,
I think that was AJ.
That was a different play.
AJ, okay. And Saquon were both emotional.
I gotcha. My fault. All right, next. The second to last play of the game. A pass. This is the big one. This is the question you want to hear the answer to. Here's the question. Here's the answer. The second to last play of the game, a pass to Dallas Goedert. Why did that not rise to the level of pass interference? Answer from the referee. So, our officials saw mutual hand fighting and hand-to-hand combat and did not see action that rose to the level of a foul on that play. Bogus answer. I mean, sure, is there some hand fighting? Sure. Was it defensive pass interference? Freaking yes. Okay? Yes. I mean, I cannot believe that was not called pass interference. And obviously, if that ball's put on the 3-yard line with a couple seconds left, you know, I forget exactly how many seconds it would have been, but I guess you're going to get one or two plays, probably two, if I remember right, because I think it was 9 seconds, I think. So
no, I think it might have just been one. You're talking about after the penalty?
If the Goddard penalty had been called,
yeah, I think it would have been
one play.
Like, yeah,
one
I think
play.
It'd been like 4 or 5 seconds.
Fair
so it'd be close.
Fair enough. Maybe one play. All right.
Maybe you could squeeze off too quick.
But bad non-call. Final question. The personal foul on Zach Bond for a late hit. It was a third down stop in the fourth quarter. What made that a personal foul in that situation? The answer, so the officials saw we had a prone player on the ground, and he came in and hit the player that was prone on the ground when the play was over. And that's completely accurate. Totally accurate. Now, I will say,
I would have asked about the fumble forward pass because, I mean, I've watched that replay 20 times.
Well, hold on.
Bo Nix for, like,
right
it,
call.
I don't think it
one.
Was, man.
I
it, like, but the ball, like, he it's gets it right before call. His hand. Like, it's like right the
I
moment
think
his hands
are coming forward.
But if it's close it's enough where if it was second. Called that way on the field, I don't think you can overturn it.
Do you agree
it.
With him, John?
It's the tuck rule. Yeah.
It's not the tuck rule.
No,
tuck rule is if he pulls the ball
guys,
back in. It's not the tuck rule. Tuck rule's gone anyway.
It's coming forward when the ball is hit, so, then it's an incomplete pass.
So I'm with you. I think it should have been an incomplete
that's
pass.
The tuck rule.
Yeah. No,
that's
not
the
tuck rule. That's not the tuck rule.
Yes, it is.
No, John, it's not.
That's not the tuck rule.
Tuck rule is when you pull it down. It's when you pull it down. It's when you pull it down.
If your hand is coming forward as the ball is fumbled, it is not a fumble. It is an incomplete pass.
No,
but it's not the tuck rule.
Yeah, let's just move on. The tuck rule doesn't even exist anymore. I'm telling you, it's not the tuck rule. But I agree with you. I thought it was an incomplete pass. All right, so look, everyone's in a bad mood, rightfully so. Hopefully the Phils can bounce back fast. They need to. Game two is tonight. First pitch at 6:08. That'll be Lizardo. I wish it were Ranger. Now, I'm not saying there's a massive difference between Lizardo and Ranger, but I wish it was Ranger. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, now in stock at Armin Chevrolet, the stylish and safety-packed 2026 Equinox. It has arrived. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. We got two different poll questions. The first, who do you blame the most for the Phillies' Game 1 loss? Four choices here. David Robertson, Matt Strom, Rob Thompson, Phillies hitters. Second poll question, do you think A.J. Brown's tweet affected the Eagles' strategy of passing the ball more than usual? Yes or no? I certainly think it did. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let's get to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, team. What an exhausting weekend. The outcome of the Phillies game, and then I'm thinking, well, you know, got the Eagles coming up, and now I have to get ready. So I don't have much to say on the Phillies, but the Eagles, the one thing I noticed yesterday, and I think it was a byproduct of them just being on the field too much, but Jalen Carter was getting single blocked a lot of those plays.
Sure was.
And they were doing okay with it, and they were doubling Jordan Davis a lot of the time, but where in the heck is our pass rush? Like, it is bad.
Well, let's
really bad.
Remember this, Ed, and we talked a lot about this, man. They lost Sweat, they lost Milton Williams, they lost Brandon Graham, and I had a lot of people in March telling me, not a big deal. And I was saying,
kind of a big deal.
I think it's a big deal.
Bryce Huff, by the way, has 3 sacks.
Does he really?
Yes.
Holy mackerel. So, Ed, I mean, they got to put that together, man. That unit. And I want to be clear. They've got a pretty good defense. I mean, I don't want to, like, come crashing down on the defense's head. I mean, they held the other team down for a while. Things got funky late when the Eagles couldn't churn offense and the defense had to keep going back out there. So, you know, we shouldn't act like the
defense. They gave up 21 points. It's not like they got roasted or anything. Yeah.
Correct.
They were gassed in the fourth quarter because the offense kept leaving them out there. Correct. Hung out to dry.
But, Ed, clearly the pass rush is a far cry from the last couple of years. At this point in the season, it's a big difference in what we've seen.
I think it's a bigger issue than the second cornerback thing. Like, you know, we were freaking out about it. Yeah, it's not close for me. Yeah.
I agree. Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, so, and not at all excusing the
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors. From fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Run, pass, and balance. That's ridiculous. But and I think Jason Avant may have mentioned it in post-game, like, they put more just design run plays in there. Like, take the PO, like, out of it, because clearly there's,
call
like,
it
a confidence
run it runs.
Issue.
Call it and run it.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, clearly there's a confidence issue between Jalen doesn't feel like he can execute the run part of these RPO plays. He's throwing to Goddard, he's making the right decision in that moment. Like, they need to rejigger their offense to suit a very banged up interior offensive line. And, you know, we have 2 days to do it. Let's go.
Yeah, I hear you, Ed. Give me, I appreciate your call, buddy. It's a good call. I'd like to see Jalen run a little bit more. I don't want to have recklessness, because you want to preserve him for the long haul, both within the season and within his career. So you guys know I err on the side of caution with running the quarterback too much. But I do think they should try to find their spots for some
designed
some
ones.
Designed
this was the only
Jalen
the Rams game, right? Was it the Rams game? It's the only one I feel like they've used any in. It's so strange.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. All right, let's listen to a few things here. What do I got? I've got Sirianni on the Eagles passing as often as they did and running very infrequently yesterday. Saquon only had 6 carries yesterday. Here's Nick Sirianni after the game.
Nick, you had Jalen 38 pass attempts, Saquon 6 runs. I know you were behind the sticks and, you know, throwing maybe a little bit more. That's a pretty wide disparity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an indication maybe the offense is a little out of balance today?
Yeah. You know, obviously we want to be able to, just like, you know, when we talk about, you know, getting AJ the ball or Devontae the ball or Saquon the ball, we all want to get them all the ball as much as we possibly can. Dallas as well. Obviously we want to run the ball more than we were able to today, or what we did what we did today. You know, you always want to have come out of that game with Saquon getting enough touches because of the type of player he is. So, again, we'll look for solutions. And, you know, we're on a short week trying to get better to put ourselves in position to go play against another NFC East opponent.
One thing I'll say in Sirianni's defense, and I don't have much to say in his defense, I do think the Thursday turnaround is probably part of why he didn't, you know, run Saquon a ton yesterday. But, I mean, instead of, you know, 20 carries, can it be 13?
Do more than one in the second half.
You know, I got a 17-3 lead, and he's, like, not touching the ball. And, by the way, I got a tweet from someone, I'll say, in NFL circles, and I'll keep the name private because, obviously, it was a tweet just to me, but a text just to me. But I thought this was – I thought this summed it up pretty well. Someone notable texted me and said, this is Sirianni's worst game management job ever. Up 17-3, he's throwing the ball. Three straight incompletions. Instead of running it, just take Denver
That's
out
the whole
of the game.
Second half.
I agree with
I
that.
I mean, it felt like the whole second
half. Eight straight
half.
Passes
I
at one point.
I could not believe it.
I mean,
well, 18 passes, one run in the second half. Yeah. I mean, are you serious? I mean, 18 passes, one run.
It's insane. And they weren't running it bad yesterday. I mean, they didn't run it a ton to have a huge assessment, but, you know, they were running it relatively okay, and there was no reason to abandon it. So that was flat dumb. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson. We got a couple Rob Thompson things to get to as well. Reminder, Ray Dittinger will be with us in about 5 minutes. Let's get to Rob Thompson on the fact that the Phillies now have lost four of their last five games in the playoffs at Citizens Bank Park. And he talked after Saturday night about the situation.
How surprising is it to you that with how good you guys have been at home that you've lost four out of your last five postseason games at CBP?
I mean, it's just the way it is. Maybe a little bit surprising, but it's, you know, and I know not everybody likes the term, but it is baseball, and sometimes you lose some games at home, and you got to play well, and you got to pitch, and you got to play defense, you got to swing the bats, play small ball at times. You know, I think it's just the way it is, and it doesn't mean we're not going to come in here tomorrow night and play well. I know that we play better at home. I feel like we're more comfortable at home, that's for sure. So, you know. They'll come out here and they'll be ready to go tomorrow night.
All right, so that's Rob Thompson. That was Saturday. Now, obviously, excuse me, that was Sunday, I guess he said that. He said tomorrow night. So that was the Sunday press conference. One other piece of audio I want to get to with Rob Thompson goes back to the bullpen. This is also something he said yesterday, not Saturday night, because he did have a press conference yesterday afternoon. Topper on the bullpen, which obviously is, you know, I think where they lost the game. Now, you can say, well, he lost it with his selections, and many are saying that. I'm not there. I trust Strom and Robertson. I thought both of them just stunk. But the reality is a lot of people think Topper screwed it up. Let's listen to Rob Thompson when given a chance yesterday, asked to reevaluate the choices he had made. Here's what he said.
Was there anything that you wanted to redo, like in the middle innings there with the pitching, or do you feel like, I mean, was Suarez, when you think about it again, like could Suarez have been a guy there in the middle, you know, to start the seventh inning, I guess, with Ohtani due up third there?
No, I think we played it exactly the way I wanted to play it. And we talked about that situation going into the game. And D-Rob, in my mind, was the guy to go to there and stay with him, even though he hadn't done an up-down all year. But, you know, he's an experienced guy. I felt like he should be able to get through it.
Look, I know what Rob Thompson was thinking. I know what he was thinking. He was thinking the only three relievers I want to use today are Robertson, Strom, and Duran. That's what he was thinking. And I actually, unless Ranger's not available, I agree with that. I mean, I actually just flat out agree with that. Now, I know James is making the point, well, Robertson finished the one inning and then therefore shouldn't have started the other. But, I mean, I can make an easy counter and say he only threw a couple of pitches. You know, he got that batter out to end the sixth. I go to Robertson to start the seventh. I'm hoping to have him go through the inning. I'm hoping to use Strom in the eighth. I'm hoping to use Duran in the ninth. That's it. The reality is two of the, I would say, seven or eight most trusted players in the Phillies. Like if I told you the most trusted players, I gave you Harper and Schwarber. I don't totally trust Trey, but he's like on the higher end. Duran, obviously. A couple of the starting pitchers. And I would put Strom and Robertson. I mean, let's put it this way, guys. They're not going to win a World Series unless Strom and Robertson deliver. I'm telling you that right now. And they were given a chance on Saturday night. And they didn't deliver. And I put that a lot more on Strom and Robertson than David that Stroman Robertson than I do on Rob Thompson. But I know a lot of people disagree with me on that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.